that can be in the teaser for when you're when you're announcing me as a special guest.
It is coming this to is see what our single Christian podcast. That's
this what is what immediately said. Comes out when we invite Liz on the podcast.
Well, I'm Charity.
I'm Meredith.
I'm Jerry.
And welcome to
our podcast. Bless singleness.
BS for sure.
We still don't know how to do the intros, guys. We get scared.
We're working on it. We'll get it down one of these days.
But thanks for tuning in to us if you are. If you're not, then okay.
Yeah. If you're not, then you don't know what we're saying anyway, so it doesn't matter. That's true.
But that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
This is our theme song. I don't know if she had to record it first.
Oh.
Okay.
Hit it.
Right? This is our theme song. Well, bless.
You're so talented.
We have a special guest here today. This is my other best friend that I've referenced once or twice on the podcast already. Liz, Elizabeth Ferreira. Liz for short, or I call her Punks because when I first met her, I thought she looked like Punky Brewster, and she hated it, so I still call her that. But
still hate it.
We can call you Liz, I guess, today instead of Punks.
I'll take it, because that's my birth name.
All right.
I'm Liz by birth, so you can call me Liz. Thanks.
But we are so glad to have you here.
Well, and let's also remind ourselves that I actually knew Liz before you did.
That is so true.
What? I didn't know this.
Jerry gets high school to claim
together. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
We did theater together, but you were like on stage and I was just trying to get theater hours.
So you guys didn't really talk to each other.
No, not really. It was never the awkward, quiet, mean face, but it was like, I was just there to sign off on theater hours and skip
and be
class.
Done with it.
That's cool. I just wanted to throw that in. Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
And I did not know this. That brand new information.
Did not know this.
It's a small, small world after all, isn't it?
Yep.
It is. Am I allowed to quote Disney on our podcast, or do we need to like get special
signs? Well, you're
allowed to
quote them, but you shouldn't have said the name.
Oops.
I'm gonna have to edit.
Now
that.
We're in
trademark
trouble.
Property of Walt Disney World Enterprises. I don't know.
That covers it.
Yeah.
Well, let's open in prayer. Lord, thank you so much that we could be here and just talking through these different topics that you've placed on our hearts. And I thank you that Liz could be here today, Lord. It's such a treat to have her be able to sit down with us and share the wisdom that just oozes out of her. And it just constantly amazes me how much you've endowed her with this wisdom, Lord. Just cover our conversations today. Let us honor and glorify you. And we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
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 I was wondering what that was. It was oozing out of you.
It's just
it's wisdom.
Now you know.
What did you just say?
That was oozing out of her.
Oozing.
I was wondering what that was.
When I walked in today, that's why the whole atmosphere changed.
Yeah, which you said
it's the wisdom.
It's the ooze.
Walks in the door.
That's just ooze. That's from Elvis movie, but whatever. Nobody needs
Anyways, maybe there's a couple Elvis fans out there that would have picked up on
that. I'm an Elvis fan.
Reference.
I did not know that movie.
Oh, though. It's from G.I. Blues.
I don't know, right?
Now you know that one.
Yeah, now I know.
Well, Liz, did you bring something that you wanted to discuss with us today? Do you want us to just jump right in?
We love to jump right in.
We don't
do any segues.
We have awkward transitions, and this is one of them.
Yes, because, okay. Well, I was thinking throughout the week because I'm a winger and she was told me to plan a topic and I was like, I might wing it. And then I was like, no, I'll pray about it and think about it. But because I am not single and married, I was trying to think of a topic that would go with both of us, which is God's purpose for us and how he's given us each a divine purpose and where that leads us in singleness or in life in general and how our purpose in Christ has nothing to do with us being single, married, 107, pregnant, whatever. He has designed us each for a specific reason.
So how do you feel like your purpose is revealed to you? Like, how has it been revealed to you? Has it been a gradual thing? Was it something that just randomly happened? Was it you thought this was the purpose and then maybe you changed? You were like, well, maybe that wasn't what God planned.
There's been a few of those. I will say, for me specifically, I got married young, had a baby young, and at like 21 had like a super early, it's not even a quarter life crisis. And I was like, this is it. Like, I'm married, I have a baby. It literally felt like life was over because that's what, as women, that's kind of what we're grown up with. Like, get married, have babies, And I did that. Mm-hmm. And so I started praying, and I knew the Lord had more for me than just being married, just being a mom, just being whatever I was. And so I just started praying, Lord, what do you have for me? And another wise mentor I had said to kind of focus on things that I enjoyed or I was passionate about. And for me, I've always been passionate for women feeling comfortable walking their life out. So I, at one point, thought that meant writing a blog. I'm not a writer. I don't do blogs. It was dumb, and I did two of them and then quit. But, and so walking through that, God revealed to me that he had me to encourage women. And I didn't know what that was at the time. Now I'm a birth doula. So that walk encourages women to feel secure and safe in those choices in childbirth and kind of walking them through that. But really it was trial and error. But first and foremost, I had to focus on my relationship with Christ. And that's where all of our purpose is birthed out of. And so I spent a lot of years focusing just on how he loved me and nothing else, because you can't get anything else until you truly believe that he created you.
So do you feel that something that you had to not necessarily come up with yourself, but, or do you feel like you needed to surround yourself with mentors to lead you that direction? Or is it something that's such a personal journey that you really have to kind of lean into God alone? Or is it someone you need to, like, with your church and with other people around you?
I mean, I think it's a little mix of both. I am super picky about who I surround myself with in terms of my inner circle, because I do believe who we surround ourselves with is a definition of who we are, mm-hmm. in terms of our friendships.
Should Meredith and I be insulted that you haven't surrounded yourself with us yet?
I'm in.
This is the start of it now. We're
that's what
right
it is.
That's why I'm here. Yeah. Exactly. Charity wouldn't let me around.
Oh, exactly.
We already saw how you turned on me the second Liz walked in the door. I gotta keep people separate.
Right. Honestly. Together. So if she would quit keeping us apart,
okay,
we would be like, that's
what it is. It's all my fault.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. But I think it's a mix of both. I think really you need to surround yourself with good people and people that encourage and really challenge you and your views and what you think that you can do. There should be someone going, no, I think you can do a little bit more. But for me, I think it was more personal in terms of it with Christ, because I, even though I was married, like, marriage can be super lonely. My husband was an addict for 10 years. And so I had to walk through that adversity and kind of persevere through quite a bit. So the enemy really tried to convince me that that was my life. My life was babies, helping my husband, who was not super cool. I mean, he's amazing now, and God's done a lot with him, truly. But really, you find your purpose on your knees and in your Bible. And God brings it out of beautiful places. He's given us each a gift that he wants us to enjoy this life that he's given us, regardless of where we're left at. So a mix of both. You need a great walk with the Lord in terms of just being open to his word and being with him. And then you need a good group of friends around you to lift you up when you're down, mm-hmm. and to see in yourself what you can't always see. To hold that mirror up and be like, no, this is who you really are. Mm-hmm. When you feel like crap.
Yes. Yeah. Which Liz has done for me many, many times.
Aww, you've done that for me just as much.
So how did y'all meet?
We had a job at a baby furniture store.
Yep.
And it was...
It was a temp job for me. And ironically, I was there for 9 months.
Really? Really?
Yes, that's a true story.
Were you really only there
for
9 months?
I was there
for
9 months, yep.
How long was I there? I was
it
there...
It felt like way longer.
Oh, because you left before me. I was there just at a year, but the manager did not love me, and so she basically forced me out. But we had a horrible job with horrible bosses, and so we clung together.
It was just like solidified
friendship. Life force
when, when you're in trial and tribulation with somebody.
You can do
you
this.
You bond. And I was freshly out of college. Liz was just entering into college.
Yeah, I was only 18.
Yeah, you were such a baby.
I started right before I graduated high school.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You were in high school when I met you.
Yeah,
I
was a week away from graduation. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
We've known each other a very long
time. So mature. You're so... It's just mature for my age.
Uh-huh. No, you really were. We really had a lot of fun at that store, even in the midst of it being a terrible job. But
that's
it did...
because we were ornery. Like, we had one of our bosses was, like, super short and male. And I would purposefully wear 4-inch heels and hover over him.
She would. It's true.
I literally would, like, hover and look down and just... I was definitely 18.
Definitely.
But then we clung together.
Yeah. And we've been through so much in life together that you just... I don't know. Our friendship has just stayed. Mm-hmm. And I've been so thankful to have you in my life.
Me too.
All these years... I've known you almost as long as I've known Meredith. Like, Meredith was, like, my first friend. You were probably one of my second or third friends here in Nashville. And you guys have stayed all these years. And Jerry.
I thought
you were going to get mad that I didn't mention you. I'm very thankful that you entered my life as well.
I'm like, I'm surprised. Oh, actually, the one time I hadn't actually thought about that, because usually I'm the first to go, but remember
me?
No, I was going to say, because you obviously knew Meredith was a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you were in Bible study and Meredith was asking for friendship and praying for it. So what kind of brought you guys together on more of a believer basis?
I don't even remember.
I don't know if it did. Yeah, we may have had conversations, some, because my walk with the Lord wasn't very strong when we met. Because...
Mm-hmm. Well, when you were 18, that was...
Well, I was 18, and at that point, like, I guess I wasn't living with David yet.
Not yet.
Oh, no, I can't. I don't remember. Yeah. But, like, there had been some stuff, issues in my life and kind of some hurt in the church where I wasn't really super active. But we and, like, another friend at the time, we would have, like, talks about things. Like, things would come up about our beliefs. But that really didn't become a focal point in our relationship till probably after I had my first daughter, Olivia.
Probably.
And then that to me, woke me up as, oh, like, I have to raise a human. Like, I need... to get some things figured out. And that's when we would talk through biblical things, and you really encouraged my heart. Because David and I got pregnant. I was only 19 when I got pregnant with Olivia. And when you're in the church, and I was super strong leader in the church, and then you make a mistake, it's like, oh no, it's like triple shame. And so she was one who, I mean, I literally had my mom preface as, you know, when you tell people, which if my mom listens, I love you and you're so amazing. So great. And she really is. But like she prefaced it like, you know, when you tell people, you need to be prepared for them not to be friends with you anymore. And there were a few that, and when they were young, I totally forgive them, but that were jerks. Mm-hmm. And she was one who just never batted an eye because I was having a human. Not like selling drugs to 5-year-olds.
We would have had even more talks if you were selling drugs to 5-year-olds.
I mean, that I give you. Yeah. You should have been mean. But yeah. No, you were always so encouraging and loving and have loved my family through all the crazy.
So much crazy. But you have such a beautiful family. It's been an honor to be a part of your family all these years.
I mean, thank you.
And how many children do you have now? 20?
75.
Oh, so I thought.
I just keep
helping
them out. I have 4. I have an 11-year-old, 6-year-old, 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
Wow.
3 girls and 1 mighty man.
Yeah, he is a little mighty man, isn't he?
Okay, so not to take away, because we do want to talk about, you know, people being married and being single, but specifically in your friendship with Charity.
Uh-huh.
Have you found that, because she's talked about several times that y'all's friendship, that even in the midst of her being single and you being married with kids, that sometimes y'all will still face the same type of insecurities and issues?
Yeah.
So how do you kind of, I'm trying to think of how to ask this question.
Just do it.
Just throw it out
there. I'm super hard to offend if I like you.
Well, it's not an offense. I don't even know how to phrase it as a question and just like, is it something that you guys feel God allows you both to go through so you can lean on each other? Or is it just you think by accident, like, oh, hey, this is something I'm going through, and then Liz, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling the same way. Like, do you guys ever feel, I don't know, what am I trying to say? Like,
I think I understand what you're trying to say. And I really feel like it's something that God allows us to go through at similar times so that we can be an encouragement to each other through it.
Are you ever surprised when it does? Like, are you still surprised when it happens, even though?
Like, it always surprises me, and it shouldn't, because God's been doing that for so long. And he's done it many, many times in my friendship with Meredith, too. Mm-hmm. Like, and it shouldn't surprise me anymore, but it still does every single time.
Because to reiterate, you've been with David since...
I was 15. I mean, we've been married now for almost 12 years.
So, I mean, definitely not been single in the same time frame.
No, she's been with David the entire time I've known her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet this friendship... continues to blossom and grow.
Yeah.
And you guys still are able to grow together, even though you're not even in the same...
Yeah. Really? Well, because I think with any friendship, you have to allow for differences. And because I've been in a different season, especially I had my last two babies closer than I've ever had my babies. And it's like not coming up for air for a while. And she's never, like, Charity's never expected me to just be able to go out weeknights or weekends. Like, it's never this expectation. And I don't expect her to what am I trying to say?
And Liz has always been really understanding of the fact that I have a very busy schedule and a busy life. Yeah. Like, there's just, like, a mutual respect for each other with that. And we find times to get together when we can. Mm-hmm. And even though, because she has one that's really, really little, you know, it's been this past year or so, we've been going through periods of time where it's longer between when we see,
like,
each other.
Yeah, like months, which is dumb.
Which is, yeah, not, it is dumb. It is not usual for us. But we'll still talk on the phone and still, you know, and depending on who's going through what, you know, there's usually one person that's like, blah, 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 you know, just, but the other person will just listen and love on them and we'll pray for each other and encourage each other through it. But
yeah,
underneath whatever these life experiences are that we're in, it seems to be the same struggle.
Yeah. Well, we've never allowed ourselves to be defined. Like, my friendships are not defined because I'm married or because I'm a mom, or, I mean, there's a lot of crazy things that we do. We homeschool, we home birth. We're just, and those, like, my life goes against most of what society would consider normal. And I don't define any relationship by, ooh, those are homeschoolers, or, ooh, you know. Mm-hmm. So our friendship has never been defined, you know, ooh, Charity's single, or, ooh, Liz is a mom, you know. Mm-hmm. We've just always understood that we're good for each other. And that's where our friendship has found its roots.
Yeah, that's true.
You have, shown yourself true that I can spill my crap, and it's truly a safe place. Mm-hmm. Especially with walking through marital stuff. I mean, you have to be really... I mean, you have to be careful who you share with anyway, but when it comes to your husband, you know, you have to be really mindful and respectful when you're sharing stuff that you're walking through there. And she's loved David through everything, but God has always given us solace, and that's how he's so good. Like, he calls us to be patient in trials and in life in general when we're waiting, and patience means to accept trials. It means to accept adversity. But with him, and what I think this friendship has been for me, and I'm just gonna say for you because I'm talking, has given,
I'll probably agree. we'll find out.
I mean, it'd be super weird if you didn't at this point, so
kind of obligated. Okay, go ahead.
But in that patiently waiting, and I know Charity has been in a season in her life where it's just having to patiently wait. And patient sounds so pretty. It's ugly. It's an ugly word.
Yeah.
It means that you are accepting that sometimes things suck. But in Christ, we have hope, and hope by definition means to wait expectantly. And through our times together, we've been able to wait patiently through all that muck with the hope of, ooh, you're just coming out of this, or, ooh, you know, you have this little tidbit for me. If he does it for one daughter, he does it for me. Mm-hmm. You know, we can hold on to that together. So, and he is not leaving me in my crazy.
No. You know what? I agree with everything you just said.
Thank you. And I am not, for the record, twisting or pinching.
Although, I don't think she wouldn't.
I do love the, you know, what he did for one daughter, he'll do for another. I think that's great. I think I, for one, always forget to think about him as a father, and knowing how much my father loves and cares for me, just how precious that relationship is. And so thinking about God as my father and how much that is a precious, really, like, that's just a great image to keep in my mind, to keep... this was just a moment for me, guys. I don't know what you guys are going through, but I just love it.
Yeah.
So thank you for reminding me of that.
Well, and then too, I think, like, talking about, you know, sharing experiences, I think too, in our friendships with people who are in, I mean, all, you know, different seasons. That's the only way that I can really word that. But it's sharing in each other's season. It's not saying, you know, because I mean, I definitely feel like I know some people who are jealous of the fact that I'm single while they're married and have kids. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I get jealous of the fact that they're married and that they have kids, you know. But I think that, I mean, that's obviously not what it is about at all. It's about sharing in the fact that, wow, Charity, you're having so much success in the things that you love to do in terms of acting, and then sharing in Liz's joy and that she started this business that you love, and that you have this wonderful family and these kids, and that you can share in each other's joy without it being
competition.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. That's
And I think, I think that's just a people thing too, but I think especially we as women, we're just, we can't help it. We just are in competition with people about
because we want our lives to look really good.
Social media ready.
I was just going to say that. Social media adds to that.
Hashtag blessed.
That's every post of mine.
Humble brag.
But then how do you feel that some of your, because like you were talking about that you went through a season of loneliness, which I know that us as single women go through as well. So what have you found, like what are some of the same seasons that you've walked through to where it's like, yeah, I mean, I have those same feelings as a married woman with children and, you know, or I have those same feelings as someone who is single.
To dig back to think specifically what some of them were.
I know. I mean, loneliness for sure, because being in a marriage when you're not on equal footing is the loneliest I think that you can be, because you have somebody and they are not there. It's absent. And so we could relate there. And I really think for us, a lot of it has been really believing in God's promises for us and our value in Him. And usually it always comes down to fear, like facing the fear of what if He doesn't do this? Like, what if, for us, it was, you know, what if David doesn't get sober? Or we struggled with infertility. So what if, you know, I really want children and I can't have them?
The one thing that pops out is when you were waiting on Elijah to come and you were way past your due date.
Oh my gosh.
Way past your due date.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Past like, his poor estimated thing was due date.
Like, ready to have that baby out of her. But we had a lot of conversations in that time about patiently waiting for God's timing when it happens, because you kept saying, Charity, you are pregnant with the promise of God and it's going to happen. Just like you having this little boy was going to happen. It was just a matter of when. And I do remember specifically having many, many conversations at that time, because that was one of the times in life when I was feeling pretty low about it.
About singleness?
Yeah.
Or just life in general?
Singleness.
Yeah, I do remember that. And he used that in my life quite a bit. Because, and that I think even circles back to his purpose for us, because we do have to wait in his timing. And one thing we forget as women as a whole, I mean, I guess as people as a whole, that God's timing does not look like our timing. Like, he doesn't have a calendar and he's like, on May 9th, you know, this is going to happen. He sometimes has us walk through these seasons. And I believe in your life, even this season of singleness for you, and asks us to patiently accept those trials, because there are people behind us who need us to break those chains. Who, like, he called me to walk through the season with David and that season of infertility, and then the stuff, the birth with Elijah, because there were women and even my children behind me who needed someone who had been there, done that. And that's why we can't allow ourselves to be based with labels in terms of, and I think that's why our friendship has thrived, is we've never allowed ourselves to be like, oh, Charity, my single friend. Or, oh, Liz is my married friend with 50 kids. You know, she's pregnant again. Dear God, lady. We've allowed ourselves to be daughters of Christ first. And through that, you can walk through any season together, because we're at our daddy's feet, encouraging each other, reminding each other that he loves us. And again, sometimes I feel like I need to say it again. If he does it for one of us, he's going to do it for the rest of us. Like, that looks different. It's not like that's like, you know, like prosperity gospel. Like, if you pray the right prayers, you know, you're going to get the Lamborghini in your driveway. But I wrote down the Bible verse.
Oh, pull it out.
I did. Okay. This is one that spoke out to me. Revelations 4:11. It says that he created us for pleasure. Like, he didn't create us as children just to work us or just to have us, you know, walk through this life alone. He doesn't need us at all. He created us because he wanted to enjoy us. And that means this life together. Like, we can find joy in walking through a hard day at work. We can find joy through praying over a husband who may not be here yet. We can find joy in being 75 weeks pregnant with a son who doesn't want to be born.
That's really overdue, right?
It was. I was not nice then either. I think I threw a temper tantrum every time you called. I was like,
she was having a time of it.
I was a toddler. She was. But that's one thing that's always gotten me through, is he enjoys us. He wants us to have good things.
Something I keep hearing y'all both say, and I think that it's something that resonates in my mind, is when you guys are reaching out to each other, or especially when you want to spend time together and the other person is busy, it's never, well, she's single, so why does it matter? Like, what she has to do isn't important. Or, like, an anger at, you know, you for having so many babies, you know? And I think that boring. we do that. Sorry about that. is we go, well, I can't, like, what they have to do isn't as important as what I'm going through, or, and not recognizing that their life choices, their life direction is what God has them doing. So it is important. If it's what they're, if they're following God's purpose, if they're following his purpose for their life, then we shouldn't be guilting them or judging them for whatever is filling up their schedule and making them feel bad for not necessarily being where we think they should be in our lives, you know, making it about us. And so I just think that's also incredibly important too.
Yeah.
In the whole, even with you're talking about single friends, you know, I mean, Charity is a lot more busy than I am. I'm just like, Lord, I don't know how she sustains it, because I just need to take a nap.
We're not sustaining that well. We're working on that aspect of our lives currently.
But I don't feel like I ever go, oh, Charity doesn't have time for me. I just go, look at her doing her thing, getting out there, doing her job. And when we hang out, we can hang out. Like, it doesn't, I just think it's important, whether single or married or someone in a relationship, to always be able to show grace.
Yeah.
That in whatever time of life they're in, if it's not necessarily on your personal timeline, to just show grace and be like, this is what God is wanting them to do. They need to be doing it.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that just also reflects as to where you can't make somebody walk in your shoes.
Yeah.
Like, you have to put yourself from their perspective as to why, you know, Charity's so busy, or Liz has a lot going on, or honestly, like, it really cracks me up when we hang out, because you always come so beautifully put together. And then I come and
that's why you did your hair today.
That's why I did my hair today.
Honestly. Like, and then I come rocking, like, the sweats and, like,
the bun
and probably dirty clothes. I don't even know if it's
sometimes
clean.
Probably.
And I'm just your, I just want to be your wingman. I'm trying.
I mean, I gotta look nice. You never know when you're gonna meet somebody, right?
Yeah,
but it could be a Starbucks when I'm having coffee with you.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't talk to the guys when I'm hanging with you.
No, I would be total. I would be judgmental and, like.
Yeah, you would.
She's here with me.
It's not today, Satan.
Yes, you would. That would come out of her mouth.
But yeah, as people and as humans in general, I mean, God has called us each to something different, and we need to respect and encourage that. And she's always done that. You've always done that for me.
And likewise. Yeah, I don't think there's ever been judgment on either one of our parts. I mean, I'm sure there's been moments of annoyance.
There has been. Only when I was sharing her how, like, my youngest was going through a sleep regression and how tired I was. And then on the phone immediately after that said, oh, I'm so tired. I'm just going to go to bed and sleep all night.
And I was like, oh, shoot.
I was like, excuse me, ma'am? I pray right now that you are up every second.
Up every hour like I am, because this child won't sleep. That did happen.
Oh my gosh, that is
so that was only because I was sleep deprived. Otherwise, like, you go to bed. You enjoy.
You enjoy
all
bed.
Night. Lay down there on that pillow.
Well, and that's just humans in general. We always tend to say the wrong thing. Like, when someone's going through something, we're like, oh, I never had that problem.
I'm so good.
How is that helping me in this situation?
Right. It's not.
Right.
Sorry about that,
by the way.
That's
okay.
I'm obviously not holding on to that anymore.
Not at all.
I don't remember it at all.
No. You let that go the moment it happened.
I did.
You know, one of the things, I mean, one of the many things I love about Liz is that just no matter what I'm going through, she just, like, you know, there was one time I called her sobbing over something. And even though, not only does she have 4 children, she has a bajillion nieces and nephews that are always at her house. Like, there are always at any given time, 4 to 20 children at her house. I'm not exaggerating. And there was, this was one of those times where I called her sobbing over something, and she had like 5 or 6 extra nieces and nephews over. There was a lot of them. And somehow in that house, she found a quiet place and just sat in a room and just talked to me and mm-hmm. prayed with me and poured God's wisdom into me and just encouraged my heart and everything that I needed to be encouraged that day. And that just means the world to me, because, you know, no matter how much crazy is going on at her house or how much crazy is going on in my life, if we need each other, we're there for each other.
Yeah. God's been really faithful with our mm-hmm. friendship.
Yeah, he really has. Not that it's been perfect, you know. There's always stuff that mm-hmm. we've had to go through some stuff, but it's...
On your side.
Yeah. Oh, because never Punk's on here mind. Is perfect.
You can call me hormonal.
You have had that excuse for 10 years. Yeah. God's been very faithful, and I'm thankful. I'm very thankful and very blessed for the friendships I have, specifically in this room.
Yeah. And I was about to say, yeah.
Obviously.
But, I mean, once again, I mean, you guys met outside of the church. You met just... connecting in life and living your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say our biblical views didn't match up in some instances for first 7 years of our friendship.
Probably. Yeah.
We didn't even, I mean, that wasn't the forefront. I mean, God has always been the forefront of where we've shared from whenever we, because we can't understand the same walks. Like, I haven't been single. She hasn't been married. So there are some things that, like, I can't say, oh, I get that. I've walked through that. Yeah. But the difference isn't how we've been able to be there, is we've come from the foot of Christ and allowed his wisdom to permeate what the other one needs to hear. And so, yeah, it wasn't just, you know, I don't know if we'd even met at the church. I don't even know if our friendship would have been as successful.
It might not have been.
Because, I mean, at your church, when we met, you were like in a singles group. Right? That's when that...
Probably, yeah.
It was like one of the best times of our life.
I know.
We loved it. It was a Sunday school class.
I loved hearing about it.
Yeah. I always got the download later of like, ooh,
what's happening now? What happened there?
Yeah, it was our favorite.
The church meat market.
Right.
But I don't know, because we would have had those labels. It would have been like, oh, you go to your singles class, and I would have gone to the married and crazy class.
Because it wasn't... Do they have a singles and crazy
class? Yeah, I can get behind that.
That might be fun.
I mean, they should.
That's true.
But no, because my marriage sucked at the time. And honestly, that's not to dishonor David. Like, God has completely transformed our marriage. He is an overcomer and an amazing man. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal provider. So, but at the time it sucked. And so I didn't have any married friends, because they all had, from what I knew, like great marriages. And so I found myself in a class alone of not single, you know, so I have a husband and a child that I had to make room for, but not quite married enough to where, like, if you went out with married people, it was like the crazy show. And so that was where my loneliness stemmed from, because I had people, but no people. And then you wanted, you know, a husband, but no husband, you know, mm-hmm. at that time. And so we were able to kind of navigate that together. But yeah, I don't know if we would have, you would have been like, oh, Charity is with the singles. And that's kind of what we're groomed as, like, you, which you do need people who walk a similar life than you. Like, I've always been really glad for you that you have had strong single girlfriends to hang out with who could intimately understand that walk. But if we allow those labels to define who we hang out with or who we allow God to bring into our lives, we miss out on a lot, because in our purpose with him and in our lives with him, our labels have nothing to do with it. The only label that matters is I'm the daughter of a king. And I just happen to have these other areas of my life because, I mean, as a mom, one day my kids are going to grow up and that I'll always be a mom, but I'm not going to be intimately taking care of them. Like, I need to have my life together in Christ. And that way, if I'm moving with Christ through each and every season, I'll actually transition through each season. If I'm defined by, oh, I'm David's wife, or I'm a birth doula, or I'm, you know, Olivia's mom, that I think that, or even, you know, in y'all's case, being like you are single and you are, or career, I'm a career woman or whatever those labels are, that puts a lot of pressure on us, because then you have to obey and honor the labels mm-hmm. and labels change. And we have to honor and obey Christ, because he will call you into a season of marriage, or he'll call me out of the season of motherhood. Or, you know, I'm probably not going to be a birth doula forever. And so I can't be defined by that job either. And I think that in our friendship and how God has blessed that is we've never allowed each other to be stuck in those labels. Like when my husband was walking through his struggles, I wasn't Liz, the wife of an alcoholic. I was, again, I come back to, I was the daughter of the King. And I had to really encourage myself in that. And I would change Bible verses like John 3:16. I would say, God so loved Liz. Because that's what mm-hmm. he showed me. That's the only thing that matters. Because in our lives, that's the only thing that's stable is our relationship in Christ. Mm-hmm. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His love doesn't grow. His love doesn't change. I could be super wise today and then go home and yell at my kids. Could happen. I don't know. And he'll still love me the same. He'll correct me and maybe give me a biblical spanking later. But he does it with love.
Yes, he does.
Well, and that's such a good point, too, because I get down on myself a lot, which I know nobody is familiar with at all.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But, like, one time I was really just feeling like, oh, God, I don't do anything for you. I mean, I'm just this terrible person. I'm not, you know, serving you like I should be. And granted, those were probably valid feelings, and I probably wasn't. But I was talking with my sister about it. And she said, well, the thing, though, is, Meredith, God doesn't love Mother Teresa more than he loves you. Mm-hmm. There's nothing mm-hmm. that you can do that's going to make him love you more than how much he loves you right now.
Yeah,
that's such an important truth, because I think that we often think, well, if I mess up, well, then I'm going to lose his love. Well, mm-hmm. you can't mess up enough or do enough to alter, just like what you said, to mm-hmm. alter how much he loves us. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that if we lived in that truth, if we all lived in that truth every single day, that is transforming.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
Yeah. One of the questions that I have, because I think that often I think purpose is like a vocation. Mm-hmm. It's like what I get up and I go and I do every day. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But God has given us these spiritual gifts.
Yeah.
That, I mean, what I do every day is not necessarily my purpose. It's
right.
who I am, where I am in the yeah. world.
Yes.
So I know that you being a birth doula, that you feel that that's, I mean, God has you in that role for a reason. Mm-hmm. Are there certain gifts and talents that you feel these are spiritual gifts that I could have only received from God that he then uses in a really powerful way in the work that you do?
Yeah, I do. I think for me, my spiritual gifts are one of, what's the fancy word for encouragement?
An encourager.
There we go.
Aren't you glad you have me?
Thanks for yeah. coming in there for me.
Edification.
Edification.
Thank you.
Meredith,
you're welcome.
Talk about fancy.
See?
And you're an edificationer.
You're an edifier.
Yeah. And really, I've always had a servant's heart, and that's not to, like, bloat my own head, but I really enjoy serving others and getting them what they need. And I think God has married that into my work and, honestly, into my role as a mom. And so he's used those two things, and I have a very discerning spirit. What I do as a doula and help, you have to be able to read the room with nobody talking, typically because someone's busy having a baby. And
that would be distracting.
Yeah, but really I feel like my strongest role as a doula is I bring prayer with me. And so, I mean, not every mom I have is a Christian, and that's totally fine. God has called me, doesn't matter what their beliefs are, but I get to bring him with me mm-hmm. into mm-hmm. my purpose, into every birthing suite. And I really feel like that's the reason he has me where I'm at in life right now. It's not to be good as a doula or be good as a mom or whatnot, but I get to bring him with me. Mm-hmm. So if I'm invited into a birthing suite, he is welcomed in. And so I always just try to pray over every birth, pray over every mom, and allow him to have the room. And he just kind of moves my hands or my words. And that's really us with our purpose, is it's not about a vocation. Sometimes it is. Like, sometimes, like, my purpose and vocation are really well married. But it's just us being open and allowing us to be his instruments, whether it's at an office or at Kroger or at a really crowded Starbucks or Aldi's when you wish nobody's cart was touching you. you still got to bring Jesus with all to Aldi's. But that's been my biggest realization, is I'm there to allow him to work mm-hmm. in those families' lives.
So really your purpose leads your vocation mm-hmm. instead of your vocation becoming your purpose.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do. I feel like if it's the other way around, it's not enjoyable mm-hmm. because then it becomes work driven. And not that working hard is bad, but it becomes on our shoulders. Mm. It becomes by if I remembered to say X, Y, and Z, or I didn't ask, I should have suggested this to the OB or whatnot. It becomes all on my shoulders. But if I bring the gifts God has given me, it allows the Spirit to work and it's not me trying to manifest something mm-hmm. out of it, if that makes sense. And that becomes tiring. Talk about needing a nap. Us trying to work ourselves into something is working in our own flesh, and we have limits. We have a ceiling. And bringing Christ into it, we have no limits because he, in and of himself, is limitless.
Absolutely.
Boom. If it wouldn't hurt the mic, we would drop it.
We would drop it.
We would totally.
But let's not, because the only mic I have.
Worth it.
Totally worth it, though.
I mean, we're totally in a professional studio right now,
Yeah, we're not in my bedroom. That's what we mean.
That's what we mean.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I really appreciate your perspective, Liz. Yes. And it is so true. Mm-hmm. Like, as we sit here and talk, it is Jesus that puts us all on the same, you know, floor. Because it's just like what you said. There's a saying of the equalizer is that we're all on our knees, or when we're all on our knees, it's...
Prayer's the great equalizer?
Sure.
Yeah.
Age also is, but...
Because I was like, I feel like you said age before...
But prayer is as well. Yeah. I mean, we're all on our knees. We're all humbled. We're all in the same place, just crying out to the Lord. So.
Yeah, that's so true.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Amen and God bless. I stole it because she couldn't say it.
That's not what we say anyway. We say it at the end of the sharing corner.
I just felt appropriate.
Well, anyway. Okay.
Jumping the gun.
And now let's segue into our sharing corner.
Oh, so well done, Jerry. Thank you.
Well, okay, I'm going to share. I was thinking about, I'll go back to Elijah's birth. My son's birth, who you had shared before, how it married us. Kick Jerry.
I did, but I was trying to not let it be known on the podcast. And you
Thank
brought
you,
it
Liz,
up.
For, You're welcome, for Jerry. Calling it out. I appreciate
for
it.
You. Going back to that patiently waiting, because my son, it was an emotional time for me because... I was planning a home birth, and the biggest thing was, is I was a VBAC, which means I'd had two cesareans, and I was planning my first, can you say vagina? My first vaginal birth.
It's a medical term.
It's a medical term.
That's
kind of your job. So.
I won't pull out all the terms. But it was my first vaginal birth, and so that was where... I wasn't nervous about giving birth at home for all the people, like no emails, home birth, whatever. I wasn't nervous about that. I was nervous because to me, it felt like a pass or fail on my body. Satan had robbed me of my first two births. And not that C-sections are bad. They are beautiful. God has created them. And when necessary, and we have great hospitals here in town that are totally awesome. But for me, I knew spiritually those had been robbed because Satan had used those to make me feel broken, and that if my body was broken, then my spiritual life was broken. How can I be effective? So that whole time frame of his pregnancy was very transformative because I had to believe God's word. Like I had no other option, because then it meant me in like a crazy emotional mess. So that whole time I had been built up and I've been prayerful, and Charity, was super encouraging, having not ever been a mother. Like you couldn't understand the pregnancy emotion part of it, but you could understand the pregnant and waiting part. Like you're pregnant with a desire, and is this going to happen? And if it does happen, is it going to go well? And so when I was past due, I remember on my due date, which I wasn't a doula then, but I knew I was really well educated about how birth worked. And I knew like babies don't come on their due date. They just don't. And if they do, it's super rare. It's like 8% of babies. Don't Google it. Just take my word for it. It's probably
fact
because I said it. And so when he didn't come on his due date, I sat and I sobbed on my bed because it meant like I literally had to have faith that he was going to pick his birthday and that God was going to bring me through that birth, and not only bring me through, but have a healthy delivery. And so those next 2 weeks were absolutely transformative in my faith, because he really, I feel like, tested me at my words, if that makes, does that make sense? I feel like I'm just rambling.
The words that you
But like my using. My faith of, okay, Lord, I put this pregnancy, I put this birth in your hands, and now that it was past the time frame that I had set for myself, which was June 6th, and now it's June 7th, and I have no baby. Mm-hmm. I have no home birth. There's no victory lap yet. And so I literally had to lean in on God's timing. And we were hanging out. I had to have been right before. It was right before. I think it was just days before I had Elijah. And that's when we had that talk, because I was encouraging myself, which is why you need good friends, because when you encourage somebody else, when you reach out of yourself, you end up encouraging, you say all the things that you really need to hear for yourself. But Elijah came 2 weeks later in a really fast home birth. It was beautiful. And it really showed me at that time that God's timing does not work on my time. Hmm. And that if, I mean, that doesn't say like, if I trust in him, it doesn't, it's not all roses. Like things happened a few months later that weren't super fun, but it really solidified to me at that time that God does have our best interest at heart, and trusting in him in a path that I knew that this for to me was a personal path. Home birth isn't for everybody. VBACs aren't for everybody, but I knew that's what he had called me to. And if I walk the road that he has called me to, it won't be beautiful. It's not that it doesn't hurt. Like, I had heavy contractions and birth.
Oh, was there pain involved?
Oh, no.
I mean, there was. There is. Yeah. There is pain involved, and there's one contraction after another. And you have to keep yourself at the feet of Jesus, which is where I was during his birth. I envisioned myself there. But walking through those contractions, walking through that pain, at the end of it, I got a baby. And at the end of it, he literally delivered, and he promises us in Isaiah, I think it's chapter 66, but again, don't Google it, where he says, you know, do I start something in the fact of, do I start labor and not finish? Do I start a woman having a baby and then close up her womb? And he never closes up our literal and figurative wombs. He, if he calls us to something, will always birth something out of us through his goodness, through his purpose. And that was life-changing for me as I walked through the next couple of years and kind of had to trust him with other things. But out of pain, out of frustration, and that again, like patience means accepting and tolerating something that does not feel right, doesn't feel good. But God always makes it good, and he did that then, and he's done it since then.
That is so powerful. Mm-hmm. Will you say that to me one more time, just for me? You can edit it out. But that God does not close up
our womb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally or physically.
Oh, he literally or physically. He never calls us to something, or especially, you know.
Are y'all meaning literally or figuratively?
What did I just say?
I don't know. Y'all keep saying literally and physically, and I'm like, isn't that the same thing?
No. Oh, no.
Figuratively. Literally. I mean, I said don't Google anything I say.
So just accept it. I'm pretty sure I'm understanding what they're trying to say, but I just want to clarify that they're literally saying the same thing.
We're literally and figuratively saying the same thing.
Okay, literally and figuratively. Okay,
literally, yes, and figuratively.
Gotcha.
Never closes us up. Never leaves us. Because that, what that would feel like for us would be like a woman in labor. And that, because that can happen. Your body can, for different reasons, close up and not allow a baby to come out. And that is so much added pain. And it's where you know that your body is trying to do something that it's not. That's basically like you're fighting yourself. And he never allows that. He never keeps things. It's not distracting at all.
Sorry.
I just know if I don't open that door, she's going to start getting really loud. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you're fine. It's your house.
Keep going.
It's your cat.
That's your cat, man. But basically, the long story short, yeah, he never literally and figuratively closes us up and does not allow us to birth our purpose or what he has designed us for. Whether that's marriage or jobs or running a CEO or an orphanage in Uganda, if he has set you out for a purpose, staying in line with him and staying with his word, he is going to bring that to fruition.
I love that. I like
it. Yeah. Amen and God bless.
Thank you.
Hey guys, we'd love for you to join in on the conversation with any discussion points or questions you might have. So follow us on Instagram, BS_podcast, or like us on Facebook, Blessed Singleness Podcast. See you later.
I don't know. I feel like I have to say something.
You don't have to say something.
But it makes me nervous.
nervous. Can you cut that last
part
out?
No, I love it so much. It's staying in forever.